Hare Krishna. Maginatimanandasya gnanjanasalakaya chakshurunmilitam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sapitam jena bhutale smayam vipakata mayam dadati sapadandikam Panchakalpatru bhascha kripasindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhara sivasri gaura bhaktivinoda hare krishna 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 hari 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So this morning, we still have no electricity, right? Here. It's because I'm speaking this morning, so Krishna's taken everything away. So everyone can come close. So, Prabhuji was asking me this morning, we're not going to have regular Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning. We're going to have Prabhupada Katha. So, of course, there isn't any difference. These are topics about Krishna, topics about Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada didn't do anything except give us Krishna. So whenever we speak about Srila Prabhupada, of course, you have to think of Krishna. So for the next few days, he wanted me to speak kind of in an order, in a systematic way from the very first time that I saw Srila Prabhupada, and we'll try to go on that way and give it a little order because he wanted to compile something. So I agreed. I think it's very nice style. So this morning, we'll start with the very first time I met Srila Prabhupada, and of course this is before I was ever his servant. Probably today, we'll be speaking for about an hour this morning, and I don't think we'll even come to when I was Srila Prabhupada's servant, because I had the good fortune to meet him a few times before I had become his servant. Is there any chance of getting the speaker working in soon or no? Does anyone know? Working. Okay. Can you hear there? You can't even hear. Just a few minutes, so maybe I should wait. A few minutes, or should we wait? Or? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. This doesn't happen often, right? Never. Never. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Ah. Last night they were so excited because they said even at the hospital they also get to hear class live at the hospital. So this morning he won't be hearing anything at the hospital, but Hari Sari is there, so he's going to be giving classes for a few evenings, he said. Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari. I knew that would happen. So it shows it. And this is Bharat Varsha. Krishna is in charge in India. No one can do anything in India without the sanction of the Supreme, especially here. You know, nothing happens without the sanction of Krishna. But especially, it's very apparent when you come to India that. I'm always amazed when I come to India that anything happens in this country. It amazes me that things go on. You know, when you see roads being built and so many things, I get. So, as I was saying this morning, we're going to start with a small. Prabhu was asking me to start from the beginning and talk about. My association with Srila Prabhupada from when I first met him. And we would do a little series because we'll be here for a few days. And so each morning for Bhagavatam class, we'll just start a nice little series of my time from the very beginning. So some of you will have heard some of these things, and hopefully you'll appreciate them. I never get tired of talking about my association with Srila Prabhupada and the mercy that I got from Srila Prabhupada. So I was saying, these topics about Prabhupada, it's just like talking about Krishna. When Krishna becomes present. And of course, Srila Prabhupada was nothing but the embodiment of Krishna's compassion and mercy. And is all we know about Prabhupada is Krishna. He never spoke about anything else. Everything he did was so that we would become more attracted to him, and in that way become more attracted to Krishna. So I find it always very relishable, and I find I can feel Srila Prabhupada so much when I share him with the devotees. This is also the process. One has to, whatever you know, you give to others. And in that way, we have life in Krishna consciousness. That's why we have life. Prabhupada would say, preaching is life. If we're not preaching, then what is the use of this life? It has no value. Prabhupada once said in Mayapur, he said to a devotee who thanked him, said, allowing me to come to Mayapur. And Prabhupada said, Mayapur is your home. He said, this is your home, he said. He said, the West, the devotee was from the West, Prabhupada said, the West only has two purposes, preaching and sense gratification. So if you're not preaching, then you're simply immersed in sense gratification, especially in the West. There's nothing in the West. And as we get older, we see more and more, we have no desire to be in the West. If you can't preach there, there's nothing good to be had there. Simply people busy trying to enjoy. And unfortunately, this is also occurring here in India now more and more. But that means more facility to preach. For the devotee, it's very good because you have more of an opportunity to preach to all these people suffering so much in the material world. So I won't preach anymore. I'll just talk about Srila Prabhupada and when I first met him. I first met the devotees, it was on April 22nd of 1971, and it was in Philadelphia. And very quickly I went off with Kirtananda Swami. I wound up in New Vrindavan, West Virginia, the first ISKCON farm, New Vrindavan, in the West. So from there, I received, I went to New York, Brooklyn Temple it was. It was Henry Street Temple. And there I was a little late. I had come in April of 1971, and I was upset because some devotees received initiation just 6 weeks later. Prabhupada was at one center close by, and Kirtanananda said I had to stay back and do things in New Vrindavan, so I wasn't able to go and get initiation. Only 2 months had gone by, and already I was thinking I was had to wait too long for first initiation. But then Prabhupada came to New York in July, the very beginning of July of 1971. So that was May, June, 3 months. So I waited 3 months for first initiation. And we traveled by van. It was about a 6-hour drive from New Vrindavan to New York City. It was my first time in New York City. I had never left my state, Pennsylvania. And that would be like never leaving Uttar Pradesh or something like that. I'd never left the one state I was in my life. So now I was traveling to a very big city, New York City, where Prabhupada was coming in. And I was going to get initiation there. And as we did then, I'm sure it happens much now, from the moment I entered the temple, you would just hear about Prabhupada. That's how we called Prabhupada. And you would hear the different things that he was doing. And there was just a few books, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna book. Only the first volume was there of Krishna book. So these were a lot of ecstasy for us, the devotees at this time. Not only we were just getting to hear about Krishna for the first time in our lives, we weren't raised for birth hearing about Krishna and Ganesh and Vishnu. I knew nothing about these things, you know. We had Christianity there. So we're getting to read and hear classes, but you would always hear about Prabhupada and Prabhupada's travels. So this was, the temples lived on the idea that soon Prabhupada would be coming to a temple nearby and we would get to see Prabhupada. So there was always just so much hankering to get his association. And of course, we would chant in front of pictures of Prabhupada. We would chant japa. But the idea was that experience to see him. So I think I arrived in New York maybe July 6th. And Prabhupada was coming that very day. And we got to the New York temple in a van, a large van in the U.S., no windows around the back. And I got there with about a half a dozen devotees. And I remember that we were going to go from one spot there by the temple and then drive to the airport, because that was also the big celebration, was to see Prabhupada coming off the plane with all his majesty, with many garlands around him. And as I saw so many times afterwards, I would always be behind Prabhupada. It was very rarely I got to see Prabhupada come off a plane to look at him. But anyway, we'll come later on, those stories. So we're there in New York, and one of my godbrothers from another temple who I had got to know, he invited me to where they were. They also had a van, because people would come from everywhere. Like now, when great personality comes, when Maharaj comes here, everyone comes, right, from so many cities. So from so many cities, they would drive hundreds of miles to come and see Prabhupada at the temple. So other devotees were there, and some devotees invited me for prasadam at their van. And they said the magic word to me. They said they had pizza prasadam. So if you would have known me last night, I went into Govinda's and opened the menu, and I saw pizza. So that's all I needed to see was pizza. So when they said that, you know, pizza prasadam. I was in New Vrindavan. We didn't get anything like that. We had oatmeal, porridge for breakfast, and rice chapatis, dal for lunch, and that was it. So I went off to get pizza. So then about a half hour later, I came back to where the van was, and they were gone. So they had gone to see Prabhupada at the airport, and I actually missed the opportunity of seeing Prabhupada arrive in New York City because I was busy taking prasadam. So, of course, I was very disappointed and could see how much the tongue can be a source of misery for one. Huh? Even though I was taking prasadam, it was not the mercy that I really wanted, you know, but so I didn't get to see Prabhupada at the airport. So then, of course, Prabhupada came to the temple. And New York Temple, it was about, half the size of this room in all directions. It was more narrow and not as long. Altars were about this big. They had beautiful deities there at this time, 1971. Radha Govinda, I believe, is in New York, right? Radha Govinda? Yeah. So, Prabhupada arrived at the temple. So there I was. So it was the first time I got to see Srila Prabhupada was when he came to the temple. And it was so packed, just like here yesterday when you have Sunday feast or big program, everyone is just packed into the temple room. There were hundreds and hundreds of devotees there, all Western, of course, all Western devotees. Prabhupada's disciples were all Westerners. And I finally, because I was Kirtanananda's, I was like his servant. I was like his Kaladri and I. Kaladri was a very big manager in New Vrindavan for many years. And at the time we were like his right and left hand men. But I did a lot of things personally for Kirtanananda. So when he went to New York, by staying close to him, I was always very close to Prabhupada's Vyasasan because he was the first sannyasi, first initiated disciple, so many things. So he was a very big devotee, well-known devotee, and even at that time, 1971. So I would get a lot of mercy from that. So, you know, I saw Prabhupada enter the room, and of course, as Hari was telling us yesterday, Prabhupada was 5'4". He wasn't tall. But of course, these aren't things you notice immediately, as everyone would say. You just saw Prabhupada's effulgence. And Prabhupada was glowing. Everything about him seemed to glow. His clothing glowed, you know. His face, of course, was glowing. And the most wonderful thing were Prabhupada's eyes. And you can see this, and many times when you look in Prabhupada's picture, you see his eyes. And they just showed so many things. When you would just look, you felt so, you felt like you found home when you looked at Prabhupada's eyes. And you literally felt like he was the embodiment of love and compassion and mercy. And for myself anyway, I just felt very happy and very peaceful seeing Prabhupada. And of course, very excited. Devotees would all be jumping up and down and dancing. And Prabhupada just had such a way. At the same time, he was like, when he would walk, he was like royalty. You know, he walked, he was very regal. But even though he was like that, he also was so humble. There was just this humility about him. And everyone he would acknowledge, as soon as he saw, he would acknowledge everyone who was offering obeisances or give him a glance, and he would always look, sometimes smile, sometimes you would see no expression. But his eyes always had so much. He seemed to have so much that was behind them. So anyway, finally Prabhupada went in and he sat down on the Vyasasan. And again, his room was packed. And it was very hot. It was July. Just like here, in the summertime, it can be so hot and humid, you know, very damp, wet. And that's what it was like in New York City at that time. It was very, very hot. And just if you see the Prabhupada there on the Vyasasan, where that table is, I got to stand right by Srila Prabhupada, just on the right side of Prabhupada like that. And kirtan started. So it was wonderful kirtan, and everybody Some people were seeing Prabhupada for the first time, many, and others, so they were ecstatic. But the ones that had seen Prabhupada before and were getting to see him after 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, they would even be more ecstatic because that separation was from Prabhupada was very difficult. You know, when you didn't see Prabhupada for a long time, it was very difficult. And you were always hankering to see him again, having his personal association. And Prabhupada would play his cartels. When the Vyasasam Prabhupada would play cartels and sometimes the gong. When he played the gong, kirtans would become really, because he would start sometimes banging the gong. You know, he would love to see his followers jumping up and down, dancing in ecstasy. Prabhupada just loved it so much. So kirtan went on, and then finally it stopped. And we were all, as many people as you could fit in the room possibly, were all standing there. And Prabhupada started chanting the prayers, Jai Om, pranams. So everyone got down. So just like here again, now sometimes people just bow, you know, they don't even get down because it becomes so crowded. Well, then we always got down and offered our obeisances. We forced ourselves down into every little crevice, and everybody would pay obeisances because Prabhupada was right there, you know. So we're all down offering obeisances. And it went on and on. And so then Prabhupada stopped. All glories to the assembled devotees. And then we started Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. So I was right there by Prabhupada's Vyasasana, and I was just wanted to see him. So I said my prayers very quickly so I could get up and look at him again. So I started to get up, and it was very cramped. So when I got up, other devotees, they were still all down. And the devotee behind me, he was offering his obeisances still. And I started to get up, and I sat on his head. And he wasn't comfortable with that. So he pushed his head up to get me off of his head. So I was 20 years old, this little boy, just seeing Prabhupada for the first time. And this boy lifted up his head. So when he did, I fell off balance. And I went flying. And I went right across Prabhupada's Vyasasana. And I was just lying there, like, as if I was almost like I was doing a dandabat. But I was right across his body. And my hands were right at his feet. And of course, Prabhupada was surprised. And I immediately jumped back, and Prabhupada just looked at me. And he said, "What is the difficulty?" And I just got into my spot, and I, of course, didn't say anything. So that was my very first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. And I had written so many things some years ago, and I started writing again, and I was thinking this would be a nice title for the book, would be "What is the Difficulty?" Prabhupada, when I was his servant, he said it to me many times also, "What is the difficulty?" It was an expression, Prabhupada. Sometimes he would say in a nice way, "What is the difficulty? This Krishna consciousness is so nice." And sometimes he would look at me and say, "What is the difficulty with, you know?" So anyway, I thought it was the very first words Prabhupada spoke to me. And now is 34 years have gone by, and I still hear those words, and I think, what is the difficulty? You know, we make our difficulties, huh? So anyway, from that time, everyone can understand I was headed for very important things with Prabhupada. So then everything went on from there, and it was okay. And then the very first day, he initiated 10 people every day. Like, that was the program in New York at that time. And you can see some pictures of initiations, you know, his servant. I got to do that once. It was, you put all the beads around your neck, you know, all the japa beads, right? They were not Tulsi beads at that time. We would make our beads in the morning. This is what we did. after the morning program, we went down into the lower level of New York Temple with a prasadam room, and we all just sat there, and we would make japa beads out of whatever wooden beads you found at the local bead shop, and we made our neck beads, again, out of just some wood. Sometimes they were plastic. So, and they didn't have little clasps that you could put them on and take them off at will. Once you put your beads on, they were on forever, you know, that you tied them on around your neck, and we would tie them very tight, you know. And that's what you did in the morning. You would get yourself ready for initiation. And we didn't know what we were doing. We had to be shown everything at every step. And so the first day of initiations, I was fortunate enough to be in that group. And so this was my next meeting with Prabhupada. And just like the process goes on, and Prabhupada would chant japa one round on each set of beads. And so everyone would just be sitting in the temple room that day, very hot, and we would all be chanting japa as Prabhupada did. So then he called me up, and the secretary announced the name, Bhakta Vin. And I went up, and we would practice. Like, we used to have to think about what we were doing, everything we were doing, even the regulative principles. We were following the regulative principles very seriously. But when you went before Prabhupada, of course, what would happen is your mind would just go, your intelligence, everything. You were so afraid. So you would sit there when waiting for your turn, and you would be saying, you know, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication. And you would just go over in your head, because everyone he asked, what are the regulative principles? What are the four regulative principles? And sometimes we would forget. One devotee who was very funny, became big Sanskrit translator in our movement. When the day I was initiated, he was also initiated. And Prabhupada asked him the regulative principles, and he said three of them, and he forgot no illicit sex. And Prabhupada just looked at him, and the boy became so, and he just kind of started laughing, and he said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you have read my mind." And Prabhupada said, "That's okay." But so this is what it was like. So anyway, I remembered them. And I said, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Sometimes I would have trouble remembering that one, no gambling. You know. And then he said, and how many rounds do you chant? Because that was the other, how many rounds. Right? So this exchange was made, this vow. It was a very serious thing. You were taking this vow with your spiritual master. So he did this with each and every devotee. So he asked me, how many rounds? And of course, everyone would say 16 rounds, at least, and Prabhupada would say at least 16 sometimes. So when he asked me, at the time I was chanting 20 rounds a day, So he asked me, and how many rounds? And I said, I'm chanting 20 rounds, Srila Prabhupada. And he just looked at me and went, was not impressed. And then he said, okay. And then he said, so your name, he said, is Sruta Kirti. And everyone, we just sat there and would listen. And then sometimes Prabhupada would look and he said, Sruta Kirti, he said, is the name of Krishna. And everyone went, ooh. And then get a name of Krishna was very nice. And then he said it means one whose activities are world famous. And then the devotees went, ooh. And then Prabhupada looked at me and he said, and your name is Sruta Kirti Das. So then I knew I wasn't Sruta Kirti, I was Sruta Kirti Das. And then again you offered your dandavas. These times we would always, everything confused us. Should you be on the left side? Should you be on the right side when you pay your obeisances? You know, we were afraid about everything. We just didn't know. what to do. So then I offered my dandavats in front of Prabhupada and took my beads from his hand. And then I walked back about 10 feet away to where I was sitting by where the fire would be, and I sat down. And someone said, "What was your name?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "I don't remember it." Because we didn't know Sanskrit. We didn't know. I was a devotee for 3 months. We would read Krishna book, and every word, every Sanskrit word, we would just fumble. You know, except for those who were more experienced. But us new people, we had, you know, senior devotees were in the temple for 6 months. So junior devotee, 2 months, you know. And if you had one Brahminical devotee in the temple, that was very special. And you would watch them chant on that thread, you know, the secret mantra they had. They would just mumble it to themselves. So they were in a special club, you know. And everyone, it didn't matter if they were, like in our temple, we had one Brahmin. Her name was Labhangalatik, the woman, lady devotee. And we would all give her so much respect because she was the Brahmin in the temple. She was senior devotee in the temple. And everything she would get first. Back then, there was no big divisions. There were sannyasis. They were godly, so godly. But the Brahmins, we had so much respect for Brahmins. And you would almost think that when they were chanting their mantras that they were going to start to rise off the ground, you know. You see them. And so you would long for these things, huh? First and then to get Brahmin initiation so you could become a member of that secret club. They chanted secret mantras. And you would get served prasadam first. Prasadam was a big issue, you know. Getting prasadam. Anything that got you prasadam more quickly, you wanted to do that, you know. Sannyasi, you got the maha prasadam. So that was really, figured taking sannyas was the ultimate because then you got the maha plate. Because we were very austere. Prasadam was, that's all we had. We had nothing, you know, few pieces of cloth and some synthetic piece of cloth that was your dhoti that came off this big roll of cloth, you know, that was already dyed and something spilled on it, it bounced right off because it was plastic, you know, it was plastic. There were no dhotis, no kurtas. You can see pictures, right, in the early BTGs and things, you know. But so prasadam, we lived for prasadam. Prabhupada knew, you know, was everything. I'm getting off talking about Prabhupada, so. Anyway, is that day of initiation is what you would do is after the ceremony, then you would go to Prabhupada's quarters and there would be a note on the outside of Prabhupada's, right on the front door, there would be a pin, the secretary, and it would have your name and then it would have your new name and it would have all the diacritics. So then you would write it down so that you could remember your name. You know, you would write it down so for the next few days you could remember what your name was. So that was my first association with Prabhupada. I was again with Kirtanananda, and I remember once he took us around the back, Prabhupada's quarters, New York's big city like here, you know, so all these buildings were side by side on the block. And Prabhupada had a little garden behind his rooms and windows at his rooms, and he took us around to where the garden was. We were outside the garden, but we just were looking at Prabhupada sitting in his room. And just to do that was wonderful, because you would imagine, what does Prabhupada do? You know, what is he doing sitting in his room? And so we looked, and he took us there, and we were just looking. So these were my first glimpses, and that first yearning, you know, to be around Prabhupada. So then I went back to New Vrindavan, and so that was in July. So then it went from July, I was involved, I started milking cows. I was a city boy. I was from a big city, 5 million people. And now I was living on a farm, and I was putting up fences for cows and milking. I used to milk. At one point, I was milking 6 cows twice a day. So it was all, you know, new to me and a wonderful experience. And then from there, Kirtanananda took myself and Kaladri and his others, and he started the Road Show, what became known as the Road Show. And it was the very beginning of the Road Show, and then the brass deities, Radha Damodar, came on that Road Show. Anyway, that went on from July until May. And in May, it was back in New Vrindavan, so that was now May of 1972, and I was a devotee for 1 year. I was chanting Hare Krishna and engaged in devotional service by Prabhupada's mercy. And Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, New Dwarka, which is the other side of the country, like going from Calcutta to Bombay. And it was a trip like that. It's New York to Los Angeles was 3,000 miles, about 5,000 kilometers or so. So Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, and we went off there to get Brahmin initiation. And again, we went in a van. And that was a very long trip. It took about, we drove night and day, and it took us, I think, 5 days. And just in the back of this metal vehicle, again, no windows, just windows at the driver's seat, and like 4 or 5 of us were in the back driving across country. And it wasn't easy, but of course none of this mattered. There was no question of flying anywhere. You didn't, you know, just to... You would have to collect along the way in order to put petrol in the vehicle. You would distribute. Then we were just distributing BTG magazines. There was no big book distribution. It was just going out and doing BTGs and getting 25 cents, you know, 50 cents like that. And then you would fill your tank and go on. So New Dwarka was a really nice experience, because that's when I started to get a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada. It was the first time. And again, I was with Kirtanananda, and that was my key. That was my key into the door. We all have to have something, right? He took to me. From the beginning, he saw me as being Prabhupada's servant, and he never ever said anything to me, but he always thought that Shrutakirti is going to be Prabhupada's servant. Because he knew how things worked. He was there from the beginning, and he understood how there was this constant flow of people who were with Prabhupada, and they would be there 6 months, 1 year, and somehow or other they were gone. So he wanted to train me in that way. So we finally got to New Dwarka, and Los Angeles is very West Coast city. There was a niceness about Los Angeles, and New Dwarka was spread out. It wasn't so crowded. There's a lot of smog, but the climate was very, very nice most of the year. It was a very nice climate. And it was Prabhupada's headquarters in the West, or even in the world at that time. New Dwarka was the headquarters for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And they had it was the biggest temple. Used to be a church, Christian church, so there was a lot of facility. There were a lot of rooms for brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, and even for householders. There was, across the street, there was facilities for grahastas, and a nice-sized temple room, and already the best deity worship was going on in our movement there with Rukmini, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish. Prabhupada sometimes would say we're the most beautiful deities in the movement. He said that in a few places. But he said it there, and the deity worship there was the best in the society. So it was to go there was like going, you know, to our world headquarters at the time. So it was really nice. And again, I was Kirtanananda at the time, Maharaj. He was my ticket to do so many things. So I got to go on the morning walks every morning there. And because morning walks were the exclusive right, you know, if you were GBC, sannyasi, temple president, and then Sankirtan devotees. That's who went on the morning walk, because it could become so big. So they would keep it around maybe a dozen devotees. But they were all senior devotees or Sankirtan devotees. They got the privileges and like that. And sometimes, you know, temple president may pick a certain devotee he wanted to enthuse. But I was with Kirtanananda, so there was no one could even ask a question. He brought me in the car, and I was on the morning walk. So that was May of 1972. And at that time, I remember seeing Prabhupada's servant. And his name was Nanda Kumar. He was a very good servant, Prabhupada said. He was first class cook. Gave good massage. We were talking so much right about massage yesterday. He gave a nice, strong massage to Srila Prabhupada. And I remember just looking at Prabhupada's servant almost as much as I looked at Prabhupada, because I would just think, somebody's taking care of Prabhupada. You know, I started to get this idea that Prabhupada had a personal servant. And his service was to massage, to cook, just go in and out of the room to get him things, to be next to him. And I found it so wonderful. And I would just look at Nanda Kumar and I would just have this smile on my face, you know, thinking, he's this most fortunate devotee. And I never even imagined of myself being Prabhupada's servant. I just thought, he has such a good fortune. He's Prabhupada's servant. Like, what a nice thing to do, you know. And one time I remember he just looked at me, because he saw me looking at him so much. And he like looked at me like, you know, are you all right? Is there something wrong with you? Because I was so fixed and I would just stare at him. I thought, who is he, you know? Who could do that? You know? How could you do that? So I was going on the morning walk every morning. And the best thing happened in the afternoon in New Dwarka. In New Dwarka, if you ever get the chance to go there, a very special place in New Dwarka. His rooms are very special there. They're very, very sweet. Prabhupada spent so many months in those rooms. But then even sweeter was Prabhupada would go down the stairs and went into his garden. Just like right here, there's this Vrindavan garden right here. Well, Prabhupada had this garden. There was a wooden fence around it, about 6 foot high, and lots of nice bushes and trees and shrubs, even banana trees would grow in New Dwarka. And of course, tulsi plants were in there. And Prabhupada said it was the best place in the world, he said, was his garden in Los Angeles. He said it was his favorite place in the whole world. He said, because Tulsi Devi was there. So it was Vrindavan. Wherever Prabhupada was, he was in Vrindavan. But he said it was his favorite place in the whole world. And it was such a nice place. It was, you know, right in the middle of this city. And you were in another world when you were in there with Prabhupada. And in the afternoon, just as the sun, just before the sun was setting, the last hour, there was sunshine. Prabhupada would go in there. He was so regulated. You know, this is what I got to see with Prabhupada. Every day, morning walk was the same time. Just as the sun was coming up, Prabhupada would be walking along the beach, the Pacific Ocean, or sometimes in a park. And then just before it went down, Prabhupada would sit in his garden. The weather was very nice. You know, didn't need a sweater. It wasn't hot. It was just pleasant. So Prabhupada found it very enjoyable. And we go into this small garden, and there would only be 6, 7, 8 devotees would be in there. And again, out of all these devotees, hundreds of devotees would be visiting. I was getting to go in Prabhupada's garden. And I was just this brahmachari that nobody knew or anything. I was from New Vrindavan, just the farm. I wasn't even a city devotee. I was from the farm. And he would just sit there, and Prabhupada had a little asana, and eventually had the trellis went around, you know, some vines were growing. It was such a beautiful spot. You can again see so many pictures. You see the cinder block walls behind him, almost saffron color the walls were. The natural color of the block was almost like a saffron color. So that was behind in the corner. And Prabhupada would just sit there and he would chant japa. And sometimes he would say things, you know, he would just, you know, once he was just sitting there and he looked up in the sky and he said, so, he looked down at us, with all his new disciples, 1, 2 years, 3 years, just young children in life and young children as devotees, right? Just very, very young Vaishnavas. And he would say, so do you know what color Krishna is? And one devotee reading Krishna book, you know, and he said, he's like dark, like the rain cloud. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, he's blue, just like the sky, he said. He said, the sky is blue because it's the reflection of the bodily effulgence of Krishna. He said, therefore the sky is blue. He said, this is how you see Krishna, huh? Everything. You can't look at the sky and not think of Krishna. That's why the sky is blue. Never mind what scientists may say, this or that, and they give so many explanations why things are. But it is blue because Krishna is blue, and it's the reflection. And yes, Prabhupada. And then another day he's sitting there, and you just waited, what would Prabhupada do? You know, we just hung on every word, every movement. When he was chanting, you would just sit there, we would all chant. You know, Prabhupada would chant. He sat up so straight all the time, Prabhupada. Never slouched over. He's always sat straight. He's like a yogi. And one time he stood up very straight. And then he looked up and he looked at us and he said, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He said, we were very proud to be Krishna's servant. He said, that's our pride. He said, everyone is servant. He said, but Krishna, we are Krishna's servant. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. Everyone is serving someone, but we're serving Krishna. He said, that's our pride. Huh? So pride is there. These qualities are there everywhere. So we have pride. You know, we're very humble, but we're also proud. Everyone's serving in America, serving dogs. And they do. They serve their dogs so faithfully in America. They follow them, pick up their stool and little bags, you know. It's amazing. But we're serving Krishna. He said, that is our pride. And again, and then he just pushed his chest out. He said, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Then he said, even Krishna is not God, still we serve Krishna. He said, we love him so much. He said, even he may or may not be God, he said, it doesn't matter. He said, we don't care. So then, Krishna book was there. And somehow or other, I became the Krishna book reader. That was my first service that I actually did personally before I was Prabhupada's servant. In this garden here in Vrindavan, in New Dwarka, Prabhupada's Vrindavan, I got to sit there with this Krishna book, and I became, and that was the way things were. Once you took something on, that's what you did, you know, it became your service. So even though we were there for over a week, so the next day someone else didn't read Krishna book, I was the Krishna book reader. And I was, again, I was a devotee for a year, and I still stumble over my Sanskrit. But I got to read Krishna book. And that's when I already got to see some manners of Srila Prabhupada. I was describing yesterday how Prabhupada would just look around. He wouldn't even open his mouth. He wouldn't even raise his hand sometimes. He would just move his head. And that's, I saw that very early on, reading Krishna book. Because we would just wait, you know, just wait for the moment to start reading. And Prabhupada would go in and he would just chant japa. You know, and sometimes you'd see him pull down his counter beads I mean, you would hear his beads in his bead bag. His face was so grave sometimes, you know. And then he would just look and go, and that meant start reading. So we'd just pick, it was Krishna Book Volume 1. At that time there were three volumes, so these were the early pastimes, huh? Volume 1. So I would read, and the one day I was reading, when it was about Krishna killing a demon. So when I read the story, we're all sitting there and I'm reading and reading, and Prabhupada became so animated. And then I'm not sure what it was, but you know, Krishna, of course, when he killed demons, sometimes he had a lot of fun doing it, and he would twirl them around, or he would do different things. So when I was reading it, Prabhupada started laughing and laughing when he heard how Krishna was killing this demon, you know, and laughing. And it was, we all, of course, whatever Prabhupada did, we would do. So Prabhupada laughed, and we would laugh just because Prabhupada was laughing, you know. It was just, our hearts would just melt, you know, seeing Prabhupada. He was right there, you know. Prabhupada, you hear, right? These things are happening when we describe these pastimes. They're eternal, they're going on, and they're going on right there. And that's how we felt with Prabhupada there, that these things were, we were taking part in Krishna's leela. And he was taking part in it, so we just became, went for the ride with Prabhupada. So the next day, I had a plan, because it was so much fun to see Prabhupada laughing and laughing. It was the most fun, huh? Vaishnava loves to see. We love to see Prabhupada smile and laughing. It just, our hearts just opened up and everything went away. All your troubles, any anxieties, whatever it was, it just went away. So I had a story all picked out for the next day. So we went in, and Prabhupada was sitting, as he would do, and I was just waiting for him to nod, because I wanted to read, and I was so hoping Prabhupada would have a reaction, you know. And so he finally said, okay. So I opened it up, and it was the story of Vivid Gorilla. And I started reading. And again, we were young. We were all young, you know. We were all very fascinated about it. And Vivid Gorilla, he urinated, huh, all over the sacrifices. And also, young boys always like to hear about these kind of things, huh, you know. These kind of bodily functions, and the fact that he did it, right, on a sacrifice and all. So I thought Prabhupada would laugh, you know. I was hoping. So I started reading, and if you know the story, it comes very quickly, and it just passes over. And I'm reading, and I said, and then he would pass urine on the sacrifices that were being done. And I said it, and as soon as I said it, I heard Prabhupada, because I was reading, and I heard Prabhupada start laughing and laughing, and he starts slapping his knee, and he's laughing and laughing and laughing. Everybody went into uproar. We were just laughing with Prabhupada. We were laughing more just watching Prabhupada enjoy, you know, this rascal, right, this rascal gorilla, doing so much nonsense, you know. So the story went on, and Prabhupada was laughing as all these things were happening. And it was just such wonderful. You know, this was just so sweet. And this, we would just love Prabhupada more and more, and become attached to Krishna and Krishna Book and Prabhupada, as we saw how Prabhupada was. And it was so amazing, because here I was reading this book that, of course, Prabhupada had just translated a year before. But Prabhupada would hear these things just like they were ever fresh, just like I tell this story, you know. I probably told it 100 times, you know. And it's, you can just see Prabhupada there. These things, these are eternal, and they're going on eternally. And Prabhupada's enjoyment from Krishna Book, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita, he would hear it, and he would relish these things each and every time he read We'd have devotees read to him. Prabhupada just relished these books. And they came from Krishna. It wasn't that he translated that these were his words. It was Krishna's Leela, right, coming down. So then one morning, Prabhupada went on his morning walk, which I was getting to go on every morning. And then he came back in the car. And he would have to go up this flight of stairs to his quarters in New Dwarka. And there would be just a half a dozen of us inside. We'd get to go inside, and we were in the hallway right where the stairs were. Kirtananda, myself, Kaladri, Kurandar, and one or two other devotees. And Prabhupada's walking up the stairs. And as he's walking up, he looked at me, and he had a big smile. And he said, "Sutta Goswami." Very nice, he said, because I had been reading Krishna books. So that was the first time Prabhupada like recognized me as someone. He spoke to me, you know. So I had advanced from what is the difficulty just 1 year before. So now I was Sutta Goswami, he said. So I was so happy, you know. Prabhupada was acknowledging my little bit of service, which this is what he also did. Whatever little service you did, Prabhupada acknowledged and he appreciated. So then he went up the stairs and went into his room. And that's what I said. It was at that time that Kaladri and I, Kirtananda brought us up into his room. This was right before I got, same time when I got Brahman initiation, but he had brought us up to introduce us to Prabhupada. And went into his room there in New Dwarka. It was very beautiful, as I said, blue walls and saffron, just this color, saffron curtains Bhavananda had decorated, and gold trim, all the borders on the walls were all done with gold paint. It was a really far out room, you know. And the floor was white tile, wasn't marble. This tile, but white, white, bright white. And Kirtananda brought us both in, and we offered obeisances. And that was the one time when I felt I really had those wet hands, you know, because your body would just become, you know, it was a kind of an ecstasy, but it was an anxiety. It was that awe and reverence, and just such an anxiety of coming before Prabhupada the first time. And it's such an intimate setting in his room, and he was just sitting behind his desk so relaxed. And then we offered obeisances, and Prabhupada said, "These are two brahmacharis from New Vrindavan." And Prabhupada immediately would just look and say, "Very nice boys, you know, had so many young sons he had, you know. You know, very nice." And that's when he looked at me and said, "What is your name?" And I just looked at him, and my hands were almost stuck to the floor, you know, and I was just looking at him. And Kirtananda piped in, "That's Shruta Kirti, Prabhupada." And he said, "Oh, very nice brahmacharya," he said. But nothing was registering, and I was still just in anxiety. And then, so then we left. And then 2 days later, after the morning walk, Kaladri and I, we stayed at the bottom of the stairs, because after the walk, it was after class, and we followed him in. And Prabhupada went upstairs, and we just stayed at the bottom of the stairs because we wanted to get a peek of Prabhupada. Because you just didn't imagine that this person from the spiritual world, he just, like, how did he do things? You know, you just wanted to see, like, was he do things like normally? He just walked around and so everything was an amazement, you know, it just amazed us. And we were standing at the bottom of the stairs just waiting to get a glimpse of him. And he walked out one door and he went down the hall, just a short hallway, went into the bathroom. And then he walked back again and he looked down and he saw us at the bottom of the stairs. And he just looked, he said, "Come on." And he called us upstairs. So we ran upstairs, and he just walked right into his room, and we followed him in, and we offered obeisances. And he sat down on the floor, just on a little mat, and in front of him was, right against the wall, was Chokey, and he had his plate on it, and had his breakfast. Prasadam was there, so some fruits, some yogurt or hot milk, and his sweets, always had some sandesh, rasgulla, like that on his plate. So he just sat down, he didn't say anything, he just sat down at his plate, and he turned to us, and he gave us each a piece of off of his plate, and he said, okay, now you can go. So we grabbed the prasadam from Prabhupada's hands, we ran downstairs, you know. And then you would tell everyone, you know, what had happened, you know, you would eat the prasadam. You didn't share it with him, we didn't break off pieces, you know, just took it, you know, we were very greedy for Prabhupada's mercy. So these were all the first, my very first encounters with Srila Prabhupada, and I was becoming very attached to him and personal, in a personal way, and it was, and this of course was, helped you in your Krishna consciousness, this pure devotee of the Lord, and you got to see what he was like and how sweet. He was so sweet. That's what I remember, you know. I don't recall seeing much chastisement going on at the time, except for my very first time. But he was just so sweet. And one day he was walking up the stairs after the walk, and he looked at us again, you know, five or six of us, all youngsters, just like you're all young. And he said, when I was your age, he said, I would run up these stairs. He had his cane, and he just stopped right in the middle. He said, and I still want to run up these stairs. He said, the desire hasn't changed. He said, but now, this body, I can't run up the stairs anymore. So he's just giving instruction, you know, in the sweetest way, you know, just showing us. But I got to see Prabhupada would take his morning walks, and we had a hard time keeping up with him one morning. Sometimes 1.5, 2 hours just walking, just like on these beaches here, Juhu Beach. And his disciples, we would become winded. We weren't so used to walking. Prabhupada would walk, walk. And it was funny, he had that cane, but you don't know whether he needed it or not. It seemed like he just had it. You know, sometimes he would use it and sometimes he didn't bring it. And so it was just whatever he wanted to do, he was doing. But he was giving us that. Jai Shri Shri Radha. Hare Krishna. So we're at 9:30 this morning, so we can... should stop here, continue tomorrow. Who's in charge? Tomorrow we'll continue. We'll be here tomorrow, right? So tomorrow we'll go to New Vrindavan. Tomorrow we'll begin in New Vrindavan in Janmashtami festival of 1972. And that's when I became Srila Prabhupada's personal servant. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.